The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi. The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. With lightning fast speeds rolling out to a million homes.
Funny the discussion on whether or not we should play Simply Red, which I'm not going to play today. I'm not anti Simply Red. There's one or two songs I like of theirs. What was the comment somebody said? They got to a certain age and they saw Mick Hucknall and couldn't quite understand how did he have all these gorgeous women around him. And I said, well, that's a very judgmental thing. Anyway, Simply Red, that's for another day. I want to talk about The Irregulars. And the reason I want to talk about The Irregulars is because it's connected to one of my favourites, which is, of course, Sherlock Holmes. It's a new TV show. It's set in Victorian London. It centres around, it's the gang, it's the street urchins who Holmes and Watson use as their eyes and ears on the streets of Victorian London. And this show is doing quite the job at the moment. And one of its stars is Thaddea Graham, who's on the line now. Thaddea, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Congratulations on top billing on this top show on Netflix. You're brilliant in it.
Oh, thank you very much. It's too kind.
Are you excited by all the action in it and the attention from it?
Oh, it's been very, very surreal. But it's been really lovely to finally be able to share it because we worked on that job for over a year.
Yeah.
And obviously, when you're shooting it, you can't say anything, and it's all very secret and hush hush. And then couple of months later, half a year later, the world's talking about it.
The world's
talking
about it.
It's very, very strange. It's very overwhelming.
Did you make this? The one of the key things, especially in the UK, is did you make the poster on the tube station?
We did.
Yes!
We made Baker Street Station.
Oh, even better.
Taken over for the launch weekend. And our faces are splashed across it. So God love everyone going past those every day.
So give us a rundown on the show itself. You mentioned Baker Street, of course. I mentioned Sherlock Holmes. But there's also another twist in the tale here as well. Thaddea, tell us, what are we talking about with the Invincibles? The Irregulars,
so, we are set in the very familiar Sherlock Holmes universe. But we see the world through the Baker Street Irregulars. And my character, B, is the leader of this little gang. And we end up working with Dr. Watson, mm-hmm. who is this very mysterious, elusive man who says, I run a small detective agency and I need you to work for me. And in return, I'll give you money. And so he needs us to access the parts of London that he can't get to as a very kind of prim and proper man.
Yes.
So we get sent off on those kind of investigations. And as we kind of burrow further into them, we realise there's something larger at play and supernatural things start happening, and it gets very scary very quickly.
Yeah, sure does.
And the deeper we go, the closer to home it hits, and we start to realise, hang on, this is a bit too connected to my life, and they kind of discover why that is.
Now, listening to you talking, you've got to give us some details about yourself. Can I ask you the rude question of how old you are?
I've just turned 24.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And where in the world are you from? Obviously, you're from Ireland.
Yes, I'm from up north. I'm from County Down, but I'm currently in Dublin.
Oh, well, welcome home.
Thank you very much.
What part of County Down?
I'm from near the Mourne Mountains, so out in the countryside and beautiful, beautiful surroundings.
Oh, gorgeous. The mountains of Mourne, of course, gorgeous. Now,
Yeah. Did
you have any interest at all growing up in detectives and crime and all of these things?
I used to love playing cops and robbers in the garden with my neighbours, but we were kind of running around trees arresting frogs and stuff. So it's not really the same, but
yes.
I think the cases are still of the same weight.
And you survived the pandemic shooting obviously The Irregulars because presumed production was in full flight. Stop go. Was that unnerving or was it something that you just had to roll with, Thaddea?
Yeah, so we were 2 weeks away from wrap. We were so close to wrap. And they said, right, we're going to shut down. And it's just a precautionary thing. So don't worry, we'll see you soon. And then 4 or 5 months later, I was sat at home in Northern Ireland thinking, has everyone else gone back to shoot this? And they just haven't called me. But then we went back with these new protocols. And it was definitely a bit nerve-wracking. But it's, I suppose it's the fear of the unknown. Nobody really knew how to work in these circumstances, but we had a brilliant COVID team who kept us all safe, and we were being tested all the time. And I think something that really benefited us was that we had spent so long together before this happened. So it wasn't so scary going into a workspace where everyone's got, you can only see their eyes.
Of course.
Because I knew who everyone was. And we all did it together. And I think it was really nice to just voice those fears with people and share that kind of experience and go, oh, do you feel a bit nervous? Yeah, I feel a bit nervous too. So I think we were very, very lucky.
Let me ask you, if I may, about your background, because you were, tell us where you were born and the circumstances, if you don't mind, about...
No, it's grand.
Yeah, because your story fascinated me when I was reading about it. You were born where and when?
I was born in China in 1997. And when I was 13 months old, I was adopted to Northern Ireland. And that's where I've grown up ever since. And yeah.
So you were.
So if you saw me in real life, my face wouldn't really match my accent.
No. And of course, well, I saw you. When I say real life, I watched it in the regulars, obviously. But when I read about this backstory, I was, as I say, fascinated. You had been left at the entrance of a building in China when you were 3 days old.
Yeah, a couple of days old.
Yeah.
And then I was found by someone who was just walking along, and they took me to the police station, and then they sent me on to the orphanage. So even my birthday is a guess, but a very educated guess, but a guess nonetheless.
And how old were you when you were adopted by your parents in Northern Ireland?
13 months old.
And was it a big deal in the sense that your first on-screen appearance involved a high chair and scrambled eggs? So,
like, one of my earliest memories is sitting in the kitchen looking at a camera crew eating like toasty soldiers and scrambled eggs, because I think they'd done some spotlight program or something, because I was one of the first, I think I was one of the first international adoptions from China to Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
So it was a big news story at the time, but it's just funny that I'm now kind of in that environment again in a different way.
For sure.
It's meant to be, I suppose.
Yeah, I know, absolutely. And your folks and their relationship with you and then with China, were they very keen to make it all a very inclusive part of your story as a family?
Oh, yeah. I just have to look in the mirror and realise that I don't look like my parents. So that was never a secret. And they were so open about it. And when I was little, they would talk all the time about my family in China. They were very, you know, keen to make me aware of that. They're very respectful of that. And they took me back to China a couple of times on holiday, just so that I could see where I was from and experience the culture. And I think that was an incredible thing for them to have done. And we've always spoken really openly about the adoption and about my past, which I think is a brilliant way to have done it. And I'm so lucky to have them. They're just wonderful people.
You struck gold and they struck gold. Everyone won.
Yeah, I definitely did.
You hate the word abandoned.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell me about that?
Well, I think I can't speak for everyone's situation, it's all different, but in my situation, I don't feel like I was abandoned at all. I feel like I was left in a place where my biological parents knew that I was going to be found. And I like to think, I think whatever situation you're in, you have a choice to look at it positively or negatively. And there's enough negativity in the world already. You know, give the positive one a chance and see what happens. And I like to think that they left me in the hopes that I would be found and that I see it as a second chance at life. And I don't want to waste that. I don't think that the decision to leave your child is an easy one at all. So I want to honour that decision that they made and the chance that my parents in Northern Ireland took and all the opportunities they've given me, and really make the most of it all and see what happens.
Oh, you've a beautiful attitude, if you don't mind me saying so. No, I love it. It's a gorgeous philosophy, and it's a very kind one too, and I'd say it gives you great peace of mind.
Yeah, definitely, especially with all the stuff, you know, that's happening with the regulars. It can be a little bit overwhelming, but I would not be here today without the kindness of strangers. And if I can, you know, people have constantly given me opportunities and taken chances on me, not just like through school and stuff like that as well. And then obviously going to drama school and my agent and things like that, they all took chances and really supported me. And if I can give even like 1% of that back into the world, then that is all I want to do.
Do you believe that you should, not that you should, but do you think it's ingrained in you, in your heart and your soul, that you should be more aware, or just be aware of carrying that forward. You know, like that thing where you pay it forward, you say, buy the next person behind me a cup of coffee. Do you feel that attitude almost in your life? You feel that you got supported by the kindness of strangers, and therefore you could have a role in letting that domino continue to fall.
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't think that's just... Well, I think it has a large part to do with my own personal story, but I think people in general, like, it costs nothing at all to be kind. And if we can all just be a little bit more gentle and patient, not only with other people, but with ourselves as well, then that's not a bad thing at all, is it?
Wise words. And, you know, I'm just looking at your date of birth, as you say, 1997. So you're a child of the peace process. And would have grown up in a beautifully peaceful Northern Ireland. And the last three nights, I'm looking at petrol bombs and burnt out cars, and I'm just so sad and slightly depressed by the sight going, I thought and prayed and hoped that those sights on the TV that I grew up with every day when I was your age and younger were gone. When you look at that on the news at night, what do you think?
It's really sad to see. It's really disheartening and a little bit scary as well. And to see so many young people involved.
Because they're your age.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the people that I know from home, my experience has been that, you know, everyone kind of leaves. Everyone's left Northern Ireland and gone to uni, wherever. Mm-hmm. And the people with these kind of different views are the ones who've left and are not there to kind of talk to other people. And
yes.
I don't actually know how we fix it, but I really hope we get to a place of more peace and kind of, sit down and have a conversation and really talk to people and understand why they are the way they are. Because I think that's the way forward, conversations and patience.
Patience, you're so right. Funny, I was only saying it earlier on in the week about how people would be much better off stopping and saying to somebody, I don't really agree with you, I'd love to talk about it, rather than effing and blinding them out of it and equally throwing a petrol bomb, whatever. Let me go back to the irregulars for a moment, if you don't mind, Thaddea, because you're of Chinese heritage and now you're an irregular in Victorian London.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm thinking Bridgerton now have been doing this. Hamilton, of course, has been doing it on stage. We are colorblind and culture blind. All we want to see is talented people, people on stage and screen. Can you talk to me about that and where you're at with it all?
Yeah. So I remember getting the audition script in for regulars. And I kind of looking at my agent like, have you forgotten what I look like? This says Victorian London. This won't work. But the only person who ever had a problem with that was me. Yeah. I was the only one doubting myself. I was the only one trying to talk myself out of it before I even got into the room to read or meet them. Mm. And my experience so far, I think, I've been very lucky and very fortunate. But I hope that I'm not the anomaly. I hope that this is the way that things are going and that... Sarah Crowe, our casting director, is incredible. She brings so many different people in from all over the place and different walks of life to read for these characters. And she's really interested in just finding the right people for the right job. And I think that's the way forward. And I do think that we need to let people with authentic voices tell their own stories, whatever that is.
Yes.
I think we need more of that. And we need to be, I suppose, patient, because, you know, we see so many of the same kind of movies and TV shows being made over and over and over again. And even if they're, like, a 3 out of 10, they still get another run at it. And I think we need that same kind of lenience with stories that we're not so kind of familiar with.
Yes.
So, for example, if we have an LGBTQ plus storyline in a movie, we need the scope to have an okay one. They don't all have to be phenomenal. Because there's this expectation of, unless it's great, we're not going to make another one. And that's not fair because, you know, all of these other stories are made 100 times over and they're mediocre or they're okay, but the ones that are kind of new have to be brilliant. And that's just not fair to put that pressure on them. So I think there's definitely room for mediocre stories as well.
Yes, no, I hear that. The regulars, I presume, is obviously with the success of that, there's a lot of knocks on your door and your manner of speaking. Are there big projects afoot?
Well, I'm currently down in Dublin doing a job that I'm very excited about because I feel like this city has been calling me for a long time and it's so exciting to be here.
What does that mean, Tadia? The city's been calling you for a long time. I like that expression.
I don't actually know. Like, I feel like I was meant to be here. Lots of things are kind of telling me, mostly in my own heart, I think. Maybe that's me projecting the wishful thinking and being like, yeah, that's it. Or maybe I made it happen, I'm not sure. But I just think there's a real creativity here. And I felt like that's where I want to be. I want to go and experience that city. And even with lockdown, I can feel the culture here. And it's very exciting. So hopefully I'll get to experience a bit of it if it opens up soon.
Is that a big top secret project, by the way?
I don't know. It might not be, but I'm scared to say anything in case I get shouted at.
Is it a movie or a TV show?
It's a TV show.
And is it one that's established or a new one?
It's a new one.
You see, I'm really good at charades. Be careful. You're going to... No, I'm not really.
Hello.
Okay. You're 24 years old and you are Tadia mm-hmm. Graham. Am I saying your name correctly, by the way, Tadia?
Yes, you are indeed. Tadia Graham.
And you are one of the most refreshing people I've spoken to for a long time. So I've loved your company this morning. No, I really mean that. And I'd love to see you on the Late Late Show very soon.
I'd love to come down and see you.
Yeah, great. Well, let's do that. So keep going. What your parents should be, at risk of sounding like the oldest man in the world, but your parents have so much to be proud of in what you do and how you conduct yourself and what you say. So well done. Enjoy Dublin and we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
And you. Thanks so much. That's Tadia Graham there. She's the star of The Irregulars, which is, as I say, it's sort of a spin-off, if you like, of the home story. But what an intriguing, intelligent, tuned-in young woman and somebody who would give you great hope, would she not, for the future.